Welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Now today I'm actually taking you to the Stuart period, the year 1606. But I'm talking about the Gunpowder Plot, or rather the Gunpowder Plotters, and of course that plot had its origins in Queen Elizabeth I's reign. Okay, on this day in history, the 30th of January 1606, conspirators Everard Digby, Robert Winter, John Grant and Thomas Bates were executed at St Paul's Churchyard. They'd been found guilty of high treason along with their fellow surviving plotters in a trial at Westminster on the 27th of January and sentenced to death. The plot they'd been involved in was the famous Gunpowder Plot. Oh, and the bells are ringing out for the Gunpowder Plot, which had been exposed when Lord Monteagle received an anonymous tip-off just over a week before the state opening of Parliament was due to take place. The letter, thought to be from Lord Monteagle's brother-in-law, Sir Francis Tresham, who'd recently become a member of the plot, gave enough details for Lord Monteagle to go to Robert Cecil. Cecil took the news to the king, who ordered the cellars beneath Westminster to be searched. And the bells are still ringing out for that. There, on the 5th of November 1605, Guy Fawkes was found red-handed with the evidence. The evidence being 36 barrels of gunpowder. As I've explained before, the idea had been to blow up the House of Lords at the opening of Parliament on the 5th of November and to assassinate King James I, members of Parliament, the Lords and leading bishops, and to replace James with his daughter, 9-year-old Princess Elizabeth, as a Catholic queen. Guy Fawkes was arrested and tortured for information. But despite this failure, Robert Catesby, the leader of the conspirators, still attempted to incite armed rebellion in the Midlands. On the night of the 7th of November 1605, Catesby and fellow conspirators Ambrose Rookwood, Henry Morgan and John Grant were injured in an explosion at Holbeach, a house on the Staffordshire border where they'd taken refuge. And the next day, Catesby, Rookwood and a few others were killed in a shootout with the Sheriff of Worcestershire's men at Holbeach. Over the next couple of months, the surviving plotters were apprehended. And on this day in Tudor history, Thursday the 30th of January 1606, Everard Digby, Robert Winter, John Grant and Thomas Bates were hanged, drawn and quartered at the west end of St Paul's Churchyard. Sir Walter Scott shares an account of their ends in his A Collection of Scarce and Valuable Tracts, taken from a tract printed in 1606. Now, after their condemnation and judgment being sent back to the Tower, there they remained till the Thursday following. Upon sledges and hurdles, they were drawn into St Paul's Churchyard. Four of them, viz. Everard Digby, the elder Winter, Grant and Bates, by the way, when he says the elder Winter, there were two Winters involved, two brothers. Grant and Bates, of whom I forgot to speak, having no great matter to speak of, but only that being a villain and hoping for advancement, by the same, he had the reward of a traitor. Now, these four being drawn to the scaffold, made on purpose for their execution. First went up Digby, a man of a goodly personage and a manly aspect, yet might a wary eye, in the change of his countenance, behold an inward fear of death, for his colour grew pale and his eye heavy, notwithstanding that he enforced himself to speak as stoutly as he could. His speech was not long, and to little good purpose, only that his belied conscience, being but indeed a blinded conceit, had led him into this offence, which, in respect of his religion, alias, indeed, idolatry, he held no offence, but in respect to the law, he held an offence, for which he asked forgiveness of God, of the king, and the whole kingdom. And so, with vain and superstitious crossing of himself, betook him to his Latin prayers, mumbling to himself, refusing to have any prayers of any but of the Romish Catholics, went up the ladder, and with the help of the hangman, made an end of his wicked days in this world. After him went Winter up to the scaffold, where he used few words to any effect, without asking mercy of either God or the king for his offence, went up the ladder, and making a few prayers to himself, stayed not long for his execution. After him went Grant, who abominably blinded with his horrible idolatry, though he confessed his offence to be heinous, yet would fain have excused it by his conscience for religion, a bloody religion, to make so bloody a conscience. But better that his blood, and all such as he was, should be shed by the justice of law, than the blood of many thousands to have been shed by his villainy, without law or justice. But to the purpose, having used a few idle words to ill effect, he was, as his fellows before him, led the way to the halter, and so, after his crossing of himself, to the last part of his tragedy. Last of them came Bates, who seemed sorry for his offence, and asked forgiveness of God and the king and of the whole kingdom, prayed to God for the preservation of them all, and, as he said, only for his love to his master, drawn to forget his duty to God, his king and country, and therefore was now drawn from the tower to St. Paul's churchyard, and there hanged and quartered for his treachery. Thus ended that day's business. That account, as I read it, seems very judgy, doesn't it? But of course, it's very anti-Catholic and anti these men who obviously plotted to kill the king and the leading nobles of the land. You know, treachery it was. The following day, Thomas Winter, Ambrose Rookwood, Robert Keyes and Guy Fawkes were executed at the Old Palace Yard, Westminster. Also on this day in Tudor history, the 30th of January 1554, rebel Thomas Wyatt the Younger and his men besieged Cooling Castle. I'll give you a link to my video from last year to find out what happened. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.